This is Fresh Air. Yesterday, the last Soviet troops pulled out of Czechoslovakia, 23 years after the first Soviet tanks rolled in. Many Czech writers fled after the invasion. Many of those who stayed were driven underground. Samizdat, the underground literature, became one of the most important expressions of Czech culture. Now that the writers have emerged from the underground, how is writing and publishing changing in the country? Earlier today, we called one of Czechoslovakia's best-known writers, Ivan Klima. During Prague Spring, he was the editor of the Journal of the Czech Writers' Union. His work was banned during the occupation, but it was popular in Samizdat and foreign editions. Now Klima is the head of the Czech chapter of the international writers' organization, PEN. We called him in Prague, and I asked him if he did anything to celebrate yesterday's final withdrawal of Soviet troops.
No, I did nothing, and as I know, nobody did nothing. I don't know why we were looking forward to this moment, but when it happened, so it was quite normal, so nobody celebrated anything, as I know.
You've said that during the communist rule, Samizdat was the only authentic voice of Czech culture.
Yes.
Now that culture isn't being suppressed by the government, does the novel have the same significance in your country as it did before?
It's a question. It's true that in the past, the writing had another meaning. It means some political meaning. It was very often the only expression of independent spirit, free spirit. So, and that was the reason why was such demand for this forbidden literature. Now, of course, the situation is changed. Nearly everybody has enough information. So I am sure that this importance of literature will a little decrease. But on the other hand, the interest for books has a very long tradition in our country.
You know, sometimes when in America, when you walk into a chain bookstore, you can sometimes get very depressed because some of the books that are really displayed are, you know, romance novels and how-to books, and you know, the serious literature doesn't usually sell as well as the pop stuff. What's it like for you now when you go into a bookstore in Czechoslovakia? What books are really being pushed?
The situation changed a lot since November. I mentioned we have much more titles now, but of course still it cannot be compared with the situation on your market. It's a lot of trash now on the market, which was also oppressed by old regime. It's mostly discussed so-called pornography, which is a very soft deal now, and some real trash, some crime stories and bad science fiction and so on.
I like the way you say that you think trash was oppressed during communism. So you're glad that there's an open market now for science fiction, even if it's bad science fiction, and for softcore pornography, and for all the popular books.
I must say I accept the situation, and I have a feeling if somebody likes to read pornography, so why not? If somebody likes to read trash, why not? I think it's a freedom.
What are some of the personal ups and downs you've been through as a writer in the past 2 years with the new freedom that you have?
I shall not be 100% serious. We were persecuted by police, but not hunted by newspapermen. And we had a lot of trouble, but a lot of time for concentration, because our phone was disconnected. We had our passports were confiscated. We couldn't travel, and so really we had a lot of time for writing. I mentioned I'm not so serious. Now we have freedom, nobody persecutes us, but the situation is so exciting for us, and we are so busy to answer many questions from Czech newspapers, Czech mass media. And when I am asked by many of my friends, mostly from abroad, about a new Czech literature, so I have to answer, it doesn't exist. Nothing new was written because nobody has time to write.
What can you tell us about how your books were published and how they were circulated underground? As Samizdat.
Yes, so we started this whole activity in the beginning of 70s. It started just in my flat by reading. And it was always for limited number of people who came to visit me, and somebody always has read something, either poetry or some short story and so on. And we found, and it was after some time, it was known to police, and they interrogated some of my guests. So we decided to stop these readings, and instead of it, to start written edition of these books, which were written in that time. And the circulation was in the beginning very low, about 30, 40 copies. We used only typewriters because everything else was forbidden, and it was rather dangerous to use some more sophisticated technique.
Do you have any copies of your underground editions of your books?
Yes, I have nearly all these books in my bookshelf, but they are nearly destroyed by readers. I can say by hundreds of readers, because it was written on this special paper, which is used for airmail, because it was the best paper for copying. We succeeded to make about 13 or 14 copies on this paper.
You know, it's funny, looking at this from a capitalist perspective, the Samizdat editions will probably be worth a lot of money.
Yes, and I am sure that it will be by bibliophiles, and now it will be something which will be estimated very high. I am sure that if I intend to sell some of these copies, I can get a lot of money for it, because it's really very rare.
Would you sell it?
No, I don't intend to. I don't like to have money.
You don't like to have money?
I have more than I need, and I need nearly anything.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
No, I was very glad I had this opportunity, and I send the greetings to all of your listeners and your audience, and I apologize for my English.
Your English is very good. The phone line is noisy, but your English is fine.
Thank you very much, and I hope that the line was not so bad. So, goodbye.
Ivan Klima spoke to us from his home in Prague. His latest novel, Love and Garbage, was just published in America by Knopf. We'll talk with the organizer of a book and writers festival in Prague after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Last month, Prague was the site of an international book and writers festival, which was organized by Michael March. March is an editor and translator. He edited the new book, Child of Europe, an anthology of Eastern European poets. We called him at his home in London to get his sense of how writing and publishing has changed in Czechoslovakia since the end of communist rule. I wanted to know if he agreed with Klima that writers are still too busy dealing with the changes of democracy to have the time to develop a new literature of democracy.
The literature takes time in any circumstance, and the literature is always new sense of discovery. What is happening now is that people are confined to the economic realities, the period of transition, the social reorganization, and even basically reassessing the wounds that have occurred over 40 years. So much of the writing has become journalism. It's become a very political tool, which is necessary at the moment. So the long novels, the thoughts, the poetry must take a different direction, and this direction will take time.
When you're saying that people are turning to journalism, do you mean that the people who used to be writing the novels are now writing journalism, or is it a completely different writer that's getting read now?
Well, probably the writers who are being read are journalists, for the simple reason that the moment is one of immediacy. There's a change. The change is not only has it not been digested, but the direction is still quite amorphous. No one knows where things are leading. So that many writers have turned to journalism, and people in general have turned to journalism because writing is now free. The media is much more free than it used to be, so that they can turn to television, they can turn to newspapers for information, which previously was only in the codes of samisat and poetry and very much underground. Now things are above ground. The other aspect is this, that publishing is going through a very, very awkward period because paper has become much more expensive. It's not being subsidized. Writing is not being subsidized. So that the cost of books have become increasingly costly, and also life has become increasingly costly.
Can you describe what bookstores look like now in Prague compared to what they looked like under communism?
Well, they're probably much more empty now. Basically, one must remember that the communist regime set up publishing houses as tools of propaganda, and it worked both positively and negatively. Positively, in the sense, of course, they supported books. They supported the price of books, so that books were available. And not all books were bad under the system, because the communists did publish very, very young writers, and they published very young poets. And within poetry, there was almost a genetic code which could escape the censor. So in one sense, they were cutting their own throats by subsidizing books, because nothing can be take the substitute of good literature, which means that music can disappear like perfume, paint can remain cracked on workers' hands, but the word can hide a code and can hide within its vast circumference a nation, and that's what literature really did. So the problem now is that with a deregulation of prices, with the basic rocketing of paper prices and printers' fees and so forth, the book itself has become a very, very charming object, such as perfume, a very expensive object. And all the constraints, the economic constraints on society, have basically taken the book away from the browser, away from the student, away from people who naturally were inclined for books in one respect. And it made it much more of a not only a sacred object, but an unattainable object, because it's become much more expensive. And it's more expensive for publishing houses to even take the risk in publishing good literature. That includes literature in translations from other countries other than the United States and Great Britain, which will always be greatly popular in Czechoslovakia.
As someone who follows Eastern European literature as closely as you do, are you depressed to find that literature seems to lose some of its meaning when freedom comes?
Well, being a great pessimist, one sees freedom in relative terms. And each society must question its own freedom. Western culture must question the role of the writer is one of a witness. And the role of a writer is to always question. So there's always going to be questions to be asked. One must be very resourceful to ask the proper question. But for myself, within Eastern Europe, I would say I'm not disappointed in the slightest. Well, I'm very, very pleased that there's a chance for people the population to have a more of a normal life. But this life will, and this normality will take quite some time to settle in. As for writers, they will return to the universal themes of pain and suffering and life and death, and they also will delve deep into the area of subconsciousness, which perhaps they didn't have to previously delve in so deeply. But writers, like trees, will blossom and flourish without question, and it will take different turns. But there's still, Eastern Europe is still, for us, a very mysterious landscape. There are very many traditions. The traditions which Kafka unearthed in terms of replacing tragedy, basically replacing tragedy with humor, which came from the Talmud, and then basically replacing all of this with the concept of an increasing bureaucracy. This is a form which is very, very East European and extremely westernized now. And all of these areas will have to be explored once more in throughout Eastern Europe.
Michael March spoke to us from London. He edited the new book, Child of Europe, an anthology of Eastern European poets. This is Fresh Air.